I believe, Bill, that your niece and her husband and this young man with the curly hair and these two, Margadine here and our MC's children might have started that Stella thing.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah. Just because they didn't want to go to bed when we wanted to. Man, porta pots, I mean, honestly, at Winfield, if you can catch them right about daylight when they just hosed them out and they're clean, it's warm in there. And I actually have a photograph, a selfie of wearing a John Griffin t-shirt that I took when I was in there doing my work. There's a black pipe in the corner.
Right.
Yeah, and those things are really essential and important. Yeah. I was standing in a circle one evening drinking moonshine and talking with some friends, and when they all left, my world kept spinning. That black pipe in the corner, it's for this. It'll keep you out of the hole there. So.
You know, I love the term thunderbox.
That's great.
But did you know that in German, they have a special word for a porta potty?
What's that?
Well, so they call a regular bathroom a Klo, okay? And they call a porta potty a Dixie Klo. And I don't know if that. I don't know if they have anything against the South, but
interesting.
That's just an interesting fact.
That's in Germany.
That's in Germany. It's called a Dixie Klo.
In Australia, it's a loo. So I've always wondered about the song Skip to My Loo. I'm thinking they really needed to go. I think that might really be where that came from.
But I say that as a successful protest song because the next year they brought a lot more porta potties.
Oh, yeah.
The song was an instant hit in the campground.
And thank you so much for that.
Yeah. Well, hey, whatever I can do, Ernie.
Yeah, and Bill, you've been writing songs a while. You have quite a storied history as a songwriter.
A checkered history.
And it's soon to be legendary, I would say. Bill manages several festivals and music events around Effingham, Illinois. But Bill's also, and I'll go back to this again, he writes everything. So at what point in your life, Bill, before we decided you should be president, did you... realize that you were going to be down that musician-songwriter road. And that's not all you do for a living, though, is that you have other work that you do. Is that right?
Well, all I do is music.
Okay, great.
Yeah, but it's in some form or other, promoting primarily, but I also tour a little bit.
I see.
Play. But, I've been putting rhymes together since I was, 7-year-old on the bus, writing little rhymes about the other kids on the bus. Mm-hmm. But I took a different path. I went to college and I went to law school, and it wasn't until I was halfway through law school that I picked up the guitar and asked my dad to teach me how to play the guitar.
Okay.
And all my brothers played, my dad played, and so I had this figured out, but I didn't know where to put my fingers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The first song I wrote was just really accidental. I didn't intend to be a songwriter. I was just I was writing a song for my dad for his organic farm market. And I wrote it, just a jingle for him, and people liked it. And so he didn't like it that much, but everybody else liked it. And so then I moved to Austin, Texas. I was going to be a music attorney, like a music business attorney. And there turned out there was lots and lots of music in Austin, but not that much business. So they didn't need a music business attorney. And I just started writing songs and playing out. And about 2 years after I moved to Austin, a friend of mine who was a great songwriter named Peter Kane. And blues player, he said, Bill, if you ever want to get serious about songwriting and performing, you need to get out of Austin, get away from all the people that you know and love, and they're going to give you positive feedback no matter what, and go somewhere in woodshed and write and work at it, and really work at it. So I sold everything I owned, and I moved to the Virgin Islands for the winter, and spent about 3 months there doing that. And then when I got back to the States, I put a cap top on my truck, and I put a bed in the back, and I lived in my truck for the next 10 years just driving around the country playing music. And that's how it all got started for me.
Did you see a lucrative light at the end of the tunnel? Did that drive you?
You know, I'll tell you a very personal thing.
Okay.
And that is that when I was in law school, I accumulated a lot of student loan debt. And when I was living in the Virgin Islands, I realized that they couldn't get a hold of me there. it's true. And I got back, and I was in my truck, and I was like, they can't get a hold of me here either. And I didn't have a phone or anything, and I was just driving around. I was like, hell, I could do this for the rest of my life. And then I met a girl. And, so things changed. But it was it was a big turning point in my life. It was a, sort of a freedom from that choker, you know, of that student loan debt. And I was like, this is the way I can get out of this. Mm-hmm. And I eventually paid it off and took care of it all. But for about 15 years, I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And that was when I was on the lam. And but that it was more the freedom that I was after than the money.
I see.
You know, I knew there wasn't a lot of money in it.
Mm-hmm.
But
there are tons and tons of horror stories of people who are rejected from the mainstream. So, you know, if you do it because you love it, it's going to be good. And if you're the only one listening to it, what difference does it make? Do it for yourself. And if someone likes it, fine.
Yeah.
There are millions of starving artists. And I just retired from my 30-year day job, and I'm officially a starving artist. I'm not starving, but, you know, I hope to starve a little. Yeah. Well, okay. We're